Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Think all-nighter, and what comes to mind is probably stress and maybe some guilt, cramming for an exam, rushing through an essay, some deadline ignored too long. The Job Opportunities Task Force turns that vision on its head. Tomorrow, the Job Opportunities Task Force is hosting its fifth annual all-night community resource clinic. It starts at 6 p.m. at 1501 East Lexington Street in Baltimore, across the street from Douglas Homes, and runs until 6 a.m. Sunday. Sure, there will be free food and family-friendly entertainment, but what makes this all-nighter different is that people in the community will be able to seek help with getting criminal records expunged and other legal challenges, like dealing with child support, as well as help finding a job or creating a resume. Karen York is CEO of the Job Opportunities Task Force, JOTF, a nonprofit that advocates for low-wage, low-skill workers in Maryland through research, policy proposals, and investing in adult education. JOTF is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Congratulations and welcome back to On the Record, Karen.
Thank you, Sheila. Always a pleasure to join you.
6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Why an all-night event?
Yeah, very unorthodox, right?
Seems so.
You know, we started this event in 2017, in August 2017, and the idea actually originated right around the time that the Baltimore ceasefire initiative was starting to kick off. The leaders of Baltimore ceasefire reached out to JOTF and Out for Justice asking for our participation. While we knew that we did not operate in the space of violence, interruption, or intervention, we were very clear that in many communities in Baltimore City, in the absence of jobs, in the absence of affordable housing and supportive services and resources, you're going to find criminal activity. You're going to find interactions with the criminal justice system. And so we thought, why don't we bring our services in terms of providing free criminal record expungement, free mental health supports, and a whole host of other supports? Why don't we provide that at times when individuals can't access them, at times when we are finding that crime is occurring in our communities? And that's after 9 to 5. That's how we came up with this idea for providing these critical services and supports in the early morning hours and the evening hours of 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
How many people does JOTF typically serve at these resource clinics?
So it depends, but you know, at most, we've been able to serve over 200 to 300 individuals within the time period. I mean, you'll find that a number of individuals will attend at the beginning, you know, between like 6 to 9, because they don't believe that we'll be there until 6 a.m. They're thinking, oh, they're just saying 6 a.m. They're going to be gone by, you know, 8 or 9 p.m. And so then we'll see a bit of a lull. And then all of a sudden around midnight or after midnight, you'll see others that are creeping out and they're starting to tell other folks like, oh my goodness, they're still out there. And there's a certain level of comfort that now exists where, hey, if you're still out there, then I trust that you're going to be comfortable helping me navigate whatever it is that I'm dealing with.
Ah, so the time of it, the wee hours, is actually kind of a credibility builder.
Spot on, Sheila.
So JOTF will be joined by volunteers from other partner organizations. Who will be out there with you?
So we're super excited to be able to have a number of local organizations that are supporting this work. So on the legal side, you know, we have volunteers from Maryland Volunteer Lawyer Service, Legal Aid, Office of the Public Defender, a number of our legal service organizations, in addition to individual attorneys who just want to give back in their own particular way. We are working in the mental health and social work space. We are working with the Baltimore chapter of the Association of Black Social Workers. We're working with individuals like Bobby Holmes with Son of a Dream that's focused on particular supports for Black males. We are working with a number of city agencies. We're so thrilled to be able to have the support of the City of Baltimore, where we're having the Mayor's Office of Homeless Service, Mayor's Office of Employment Development, Mayor's Office of Neighborhoods. And so it's a range of volunteers. It's really amazing to see how individuals hear what we're doing and are able to see how their service is something that could be provided even at the wee hours of the morning.
And I'm sure that some folks who come want help in more than one area, but what are the services most in demand, the most common services that JOTF provides during these clinics?
Yeah, so I mean, just off the top, primarily the legal services, right? We know that nationwide, 1 in 3 Americans have some type of criminal record that's going to surface in a routine background check. We know that background checks are used in employment and housing, even education. And we know that in the city of Baltimore, that a significant segment of our working population is unemployable as a result of their criminal record. And so there are a host of individuals who specifically come to the event because they get access to a free attorney. And while, yes, they may need access to criminal record expungement, this attorney might be able to help me out with, you know, some challenges I'm dealing with in housing. I may want to sign up for SSI and SSDI. I may need help as a juvenile in terms of navigating the court system, medical assistance, a whole host of supports and services that come from the legal side. So that's the biggest piece. The second biggest component is the mental health, social work, behavioral health piece. That is the section where individuals, they just don't know what to do. They don't know in what direction to go. They have a host of complex issues that are sitting on their lap and they don't know how to figure it out. And so the social workers that are on site are our chief navigators to be able to sit in a comfortable space and just listen and help individuals navigate. And many times, knowing that things like mental health and therapy is inaccessible, one, just out of reach, whether it be because lack of insurance or you just don't know who to go to, but also the stigma of accessing those supports and services. So being out in the middle of the night and having some folks sitting on a couch and just saying, hey, come talk to me about what's going on and let's figure out your next steps. That is also like one of the busiest components. So it's legal and it's our mental health.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Karen York, CEO of the Job Opportunities Task Force, JOTF, a nonprofit that works to increase the skills and job options of low-wage workers and unemployed Marylanders. JOTF is pulling an all-nighter tomorrow, a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. resource fair tomorrow night across from Douglas Homes in Baltimore. What are some of the barriers that prevent people from seeking these services on their own in a regular way?
Many times, if you are seeking support for employment, if you're seeking a criminal record expungement, if you're seeking assistance with housing or mental health support, you can only access them by going to, you know, a certain building, brick and mortar building, and it's within business hours. Those business hours have also been modified due to COVID. And so just access in terms of how do I get there is limited for individuals. We also hear from community that many times they don't have the best experiences going into those buildings and interacting with individuals. And so this is our way of saying, we've heard what you say that you need and what you want. And so instead of requiring you to go to different doors and navigate how to get there, different buses that won't take you there and all of that, we're going to bring it to you. And so just access in general and the stigma around that is a barrier. Another barrier is that many times, if you want criminal record expungement, if you go to, you know, a certain program or a certain initiative, there may be criteria that you have to adhere to in terms of your qualification. There may be income restrictions. There may be limitations in terms of what charges or what situations would be eligible for legal support. And what we're saying here is none of that matters. What you do is you come here and you are able to meet with someone who can give you guidance in terms of what needs to happen legally. There are individuals who they may not come for expungement. They may not come for mental health support. They're simply coming for fellowship and food. They're simply coming for resources that they can take back to their home and marinate on it and then be able to follow up. And so the fact that I'm not going to be able to get that outside of the 9 to 5 hours, but if I'm home and I'm thinking about it, I know I can go down the street to Douglas Homes and pick that up and be able to take that back to my home, my family, and my community. And so, you know, many times the barriers or, you know, the limitations just have to do with fear or bad experiences that really prevent individuals from even wanting to engage in these types of supports and services.
There'll be a lot of talk about criminal expungement tomorrow night, I assume. There's a new state law about expungement that just took effect October 1st. Tell us about that.
Yeah, super excited about it. So for the past 15 years, you heard that right, 15 years, JOTF and partners around the state have been, you know, advocating before the Maryland General Assembly to eliminate something called the unit rule. That's the technical term, unit rule. But really on the streets, how folks know it, it's a symptom of overcharging. What happens is when you are arrested, many times you're charged with a number of offenses. Those offenses make up what's called a unit of charges. When you go to court, many times you are offered a plea bargain. That plea bargain may suggest or encourage you to plead guilty to certain offenses within those unit of charges. And then the remaining offenses will be dropped, dismissed, you'll be found not guilty, whatever. So you're thinking, okay, I'm going to plead guilty to these, and the remaining ones will not be on my record. You're thinking they're not on your record until you go apply for a job, and that entire unit of charges exists. So you go to apply for expungement because the law says, hey, I can expunge these certain non-convictions. You go to expunge those non-convictions and you are denied expungement because the eligible non-convictions are attached to convictions that are ineligible for expungement. So what's eligible by law was ineligible for expungement just because it was attached to something else. And so for 15 years, we worked to eliminate that very technical limitation called the unit rule, where if the law says that you should be able to expunge these charges that did not result in a guilty conviction, it does not matter what it's attached to. If I was not found guilty, it should not be readily available on my record and used against me in employment and in housing and the like.
Another legal service offered at this event is help with modifying child support orders. What does this entail, and why might someone need a modification?
Right. So it's important to know that for the Job Opportunities Task Force and Out for Justice and many organizations that operate in the space of child support reform, reform of punitive child support enforcement policies, we're trying to ensure that our policies, our state policies, differentiate between a deadbeat parent and a dead broke parent. Yes, there are some individuals who they by choice, willingly, are falling behind on their child support obligations. And the courts have to get involved to compel them to pay their child support. However, the laws have been crafted in a way that many times individuals want to meet their obligations and they just simply cannot because the math is not adding up. They just don't have the money. And so what happens is their driver's license is suspended if they can't pay child support, which makes it difficult for them to get to work, which then makes it difficult for them to get money so that they can pay child support. After a while, your wages are garnished if you're employed. And the state of Maryland allows employers to garnish up to 63% of someone's wages to go towards child support. And we're talking about child support to both the parent and the state. So when the money goes to the state, it's not even going to the child or the parent. And so child support modifications are important because they allow the child support payments to actually reflect what makes sense so that the non-custodial parent is able to both live and be able to meet their obligations. Unfortunately, the modification process is a legal one, and many individuals feel that, and quite honestly, are encouraged to use an attorney or an expert to help file these documents. And so on site, we're going to have individuals who are going to help individuals file these child support modifications. So it's not about running away from your responsibility, but it's about right-sizing the responsibility so that you can be involved, you can meet your obligations, but you also can live your life. You can pay your bills in addition to meeting whatever obligations you have for your family.
You are not asking residents to pre-register for the All Night Resource Clinic, but an issue like that, or like criminal record expungement, seems complicated. Are you able to solve issues during the clinic, or is there a lot of follow-up?
Well, I mean, it's both, right? So we're thankful. Over the years, we've been working with folks around the state to make the expungement process more accessible and a lot easier. And so a former colleague was able to develop a website, MarylandExpungement.com, where many of the court forms are online. And so the attorneys on site are just going to be able to upload the information onto this online application, be able to print it out, and the individuals can sign it. And then the individuals then take it to court. They are then able to drop it off at the courthouse. Or if they don't feel comfortable, we will drop it off at the courthouse for them. And the follow-up that we like to do with them is, one, we just want to make sure that you understand what happens, that you stay in touch with us if you receive any documentation in the mail questioning the expungement petitions that we filed. But more importantly, we want to make sure that your expungement was successful. You're going to start to get some documents in the mail to say that, you know, the police department has expunged your records. You know, this particular agency has expunged a record. And not only do we want to make sure that individuals are getting those documents, but Sheila, it feels so good to get that text message or that call from someone who you've helped to say, I got a letter in the mail saying my record is expunged. I'm going to go apply for this job. I'm going to go try to get this apartment that I've been trying to get but couldn't get because of this record. So it's a bit of both. On site, we can do a lot, but that follow-up is just as important.
Karen, thank you, and have fun tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Karen York is CEO of the Job Opportunities Task Force, JOTF, a statewide nonprofit that promotes policies and programs to help low-wage workers advance their careers. JOTF is marking its 25th anniversary this year. The 5th annual all-night community resource clinic will take place tomorrow night across from Douglas Homes, 1501 East Lexington Street in Baltimore. It starts at 6 p.m. and runs until 6 a.m. Sunday. You've got more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break now. On the Record, I'm Sheila Cast. When we're back, a Stoop story. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.